I'm kind of accident prone, and I was once treated in a local emergency room by a visiting Pakistani doctor who became very concerned when I wanted to list a friend, a man I was not married to, as my emergency contact. "Are you sure?" he said, raising his eyebrows. I didn't get it. He kept wagging his eyebrows. And then he told me he was afraid people would talk. We had come up against a cultural divide. With a quarter of all medical doctors in the U.S. foreign-born, it's likely to happen. So the Mercy Medical Center in Mason City, Iowa, has a cultural literacy program to teach foreign-born doctors about Iowans. For instance, the program helps very sophisticated trained doctors from, say, India, understand that an Iowa farmer may be university-trained as well and will probably want to talk about the University of Iowa Hawkeyes. The program is taught by two University of Northern Iowa professors, Michelle Devlin and Mark Gray, an anthropologist. Mark joins us. And, Mark, does my anecdote sound familiar, a foreign doctor bringing his cultural expectations to the ER?
Yeah, and I think that's a very good example of what can happen. It's not just what their expectations might be, but it also might be the expectations of the patients as well.
And give us some examples of what you were running up against.
When we talk a lot about working with rural Iowans, we spend an awful lot of time talking about understatement, the reserve, you know, the reticence, how polite they tend to be, which, of course, drives some of the foreign-born doctors a bit nuts because they come from cultures which are much more expressive. You know, rural Iowans, what they don't say is often more important than what they do say. There's this concept that we refer to as Iowa nice. That is, well, I came in for one problem, and I have another problem, but I don't want to discuss the second problem because I don't want to take up more of the doctor's time. What we try to do is get them to, you know, probe a little bit harder and just say something like, you know, there's something else that's bugging you, isn't there? I mean, you know, I can bump my next appointment if I need to. It's okay. And simple things, really. Sitting down with the patient is a signal to the patient that you're going to listen to them and that they're important. And so on top of that, we also, you know, try to get folks to break the ice a little bit with small talk, introducing some of the doctors to some of the things that their patients might be interested in. And for example, we'll talk about the cycle of the seasons, which, of course, is very important in rural farming communities. And they could talk about the farming cycle, how's the harvest going.
And this is something they learn how to do more effectively in courses that you have, sessions that are required for all foreign medical residents. You have Iowa Culture 101, but also an intro to working effectively with white Europeans.
That's right.
One of the other classes, topics for small talk with Iowans. But sometimes that small talk can get very big. You mentioned that these doctors are encouraged to ask about the farms, for instance. There's so many in the area. And they're taught that Iowa patients can often refuse surgery until after a harvest?
That's right. That's fairly common. You know, if a middle-aged man comes in with a hernia, for example, and says, the doctor says, well, we need to repair that, and the sooner the better, and the patient says, well, yeah, I'll be back in a month. I may get the harvest done by then. Oh, that's quite common.
Can you give another example of how, you know, knowing about farming would be important for doctors in this area?
Well, I mean, we also talk about, you know, farming as a parable for life in rural areas, and how one of the things that's difficult for rural Iowans now is that most of rural Iowa is depopulating. It's growing older, and it's depopulating, and it's actually, in many respects, a stressful time to live in rural Iowa. And then keep in mind as well that as the patient population, particularly in rural areas, grows older, these doctors are not just dealing with the rapidly aging patient base, but they're increasingly now starting to work with the middle-aged children of their patients. And so you have, you know, foreign-born doctors working with men and women my age who are trying to, you know, deal with end-of-life crises with their parents. And, of course, this opens itself up to all kinds of miscommunication.
Do some of these foreign doctors wonder, you know, why aren't elderly parents all at home with their children? Because Iowa probably comes closer than other parts of the U.S., but in many foreign countries, that's a, you know, it's just a guarantee. It's understood.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point. One of the difficult things that all doctors have, and in particular our international medical graduates have, is let's say we have an elderly patient come in, they have a serious problem of some kind, and may even be approaching the end of their lives. They find it how interesting how their children may be scattered to the four winds. We have had some of our doctors ask, you know, why aren't they living with their parents in the first place? And the short answer is, for many younger folks from rural Iowa, there's really nothing to keep them in small communities, and we lose a lot of our younger people to other states.
Yeah. What would you say would be the list you want to make sure you accomplish to know Iowans?
Well, I think absolutely critical is understanding the communication style. There are explanations for why Iowans tend to be rather reticent and tend to be rather quiet. And that is, when you grow up in a small town, you understand that your role within the community is multifunction. That is, you don't just know someone within one role, you know them within several. And so what tends to happen is that people raised in smaller communities tend to keep quiet, and they tend to not raise up any kind of controversial issues, because whatever happens to, say, your father is going to be reflected back at work, and of course you're going to be going to school with, you know, your uncle's sons and children, and of course the boss's daughter may play on the soccer team with you and so forth. So there are actually very practical reasons for why Iowans tend to be rather understated.
Yeah. Well, but you have more on the list. I mean, they have to know corn. They have to know tater tots, you know. What else do you suggest?
Well, in the corn, you know, we talk about corn for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, you can't leave, you know, 5 miles into any community without running into it. That and corn and soybeans, of course, really does dominate the agricultural landscape in the state.
Well, so there's corn, the state fair. You have to go to the state fair. And
right.
I love reading this, that your colleague, Michelle Devlin, underscoring that the area is 91% Caucasian, although there's African, Asian, Latin immigrants in recent years. But she said, in Iowa, a mixed marriage refers to a University of Iowa Hawkeye marrying an Iowa State University Cyclone.
That's correct, yes. that is one example of a mixed marriage. You can actually, in some stores around the state, you can actually buy a flag, which is one half is the logo for Iowa, the other half is a logo for Iowa State. And instead of saying mixed marriage, it says divided household. And people proudly hang those things from their front doors. And we do talk about sports. We talk about the role of sports within communities and identity formation and, you know, the different roles that sports can play for people in different cycles of their lives.
Dr. Mark Gray, director of the Iowa Center for Immigrant Leadership and Integration at the University of Northern Iowa in Cedar Falls, and their cultural literacy program for foreign-born doctors in Iowa. Dr. Gray, thanks so much.
Thank you.